Is baptism important? Well, let's read the text again. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, verse 19, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Is baptism important? Folks, it's part of the Great Commission. And if we're not baptizing people, we're not fulfilling the Great Commission. There's one command, by the way, there's one command in this whole text, and it's make disciples. And then Jesus tells us how we are to make those disciples. And an important step in that disciple-making process is baptizing. Baptizing. If we are to obey the Great Commission, people have to be baptized. And I think it's interesting that it's part of what the early church did. If you look over with me at Acts chapter 2, I think this is a very instructive passage, Acts chapter 2. Actually, all through the book of Acts, but beginning in Acts chapter 2 and beginning at verse 41, we read this. With many other words, he testified, save yourselves from this untoward generation, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Can you imagine that? We announced we're going to have a baptismal service. We're going to have people come to saving faith in Christ, and we're going to have a baptismal service. And there are going to be 3,000 baptisms. I dare say that we would have to refill the baptistry several times. Was baptism important to the early church? It was an integral part of what they did. Look over at chapter 8. This is an interesting story, and we're going to come back to it in a little bit. Acts chapter 8, beginning at, well, you know the story of Philip. He goes down from Samaria. He goes down to the city of Samaria, excuse me. He preached Christ to them. Great ministry there. But he's called away. And it says in verse 12, when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Verse 38, he commanded the chariot, this is the Ethiopian eunuch, he commands the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. And both Philip and the eunuch, and he, that is Philip, baptized him, the eunuch. You can go on and on through the book of Acts, chapter 10, chapter 16. There were things that the early church did that we don't do. And that's okay, because those things are not commanded. But this one thing is, baptize. Baptize. Baptism is commanded. It's part of the Great Commission. As the apostles preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, people were saved. And almost immediately, they were baptized. Why don't we baptize people right after they make a profession of faith today? You ever wondered that? There are a lot of churches that do. And a lot of people later on in life will come back and will say, well, I know I'm saved because such and such a church baptized me, or so and so baptized me. That proves I'm saved. No, it doesn't. And that's part of the problem, because people don't understand what baptism is. I don't think it's advisable to baptize a person right after they get saved anymore. But I think it's essential that the person be baptized after they are saved, after they understand what baptism is and why it's important. You know, the early church, there was a knowledge and an understanding of God and Christ they had that we don't have anymore. We've lost it. You realize, too, baptism wasn't new with the early church. I mean, this wasn't something that the church began at the day of Pentecost. This was a procedure that existed in the days of John the Baptist. It existed prior to John the Baptist. By the way, it's not the reason he's called John the Baptist, okay? Technically, he's called John the Baptizer. And he was telling people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Remember that? We talked about that a few weeks ago. But after Pentecost, after Jesus ascended into heaven and the Holy Spirit came, after Pentecost, believers' baptism was what the early church did. Why? Because baptism identifies people with Christ. I mean, I've never really grasped what a dramatic step it must be, or it must have been, for a Jewish person to have been baptized in that early church culture. Because they were basically turning their back on what they had grown up in all of their lives to that point. And they are identifying with, as Isaiah puts it, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. The one who was despised and rejected of men. Can you imagine that? What that must have been like? But that's what they did. And they did it willingly. They did it lovingly. They truly desired to identify with Jesus of Nazareth and the people who followed what the New Testament calls the way. What does baptism mean, and why is it so important? It symbolizes the believer's identification with Christ in his person and his finished work on Calvary's cross. Look at Romans chapter 6. I love Romans. I love the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6. This is one of my favorite chapters. Romans chapter 6. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I mean, if God gives grace more and more abundantly as we sin, shouldn't we go ahead and sin more? Because then we'll get more grace, right? That makes sense. And he says, God forbid. And I love that because in Greek, in the Greek language, there is no stronger negative statement you can make about something. God forbid. May it never be. Don't even let that thought enter your mind. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now watch what he says in verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. We were identified with Christ when he died on the cross. We died positionally with Jesus Christ. But he says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. The ceremony of baptism pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Does that sound familiar to you? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The gospel that Paul preached was what? That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of over 500 witnesses. And he goes down that list of people that saw Christ, and he gets to himself, and he's seen last of all of me. I was the last one that saw him. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, the ordinance of baptism and the ordinance of the Lord's Supper are testimonies, are pictures of what Jesus did for us on the cross, and the fact that Jesus rose again from the dead. We as a believer, we are immersed with him. It's identification that as Christ was buried after his crucifixion on the cross, and he subsequently arose from the dead, it proves that the death and resurrection of Christ are real. May I ask you this morning, do you really believe Jesus Christ died on the cross? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that Jesus Christ was buried in that tomb? We've been hearing a lot about this tomb of Jesus that they found in Israel recently. Well, they may have found the tomb, but guess what? He isn't there. He was, if that's the real tomb. But he's not there now. And he hasn't been since he came out of the tomb 3 days after he was buried. And as a believer is taken up out of the water, it's again a picture of the resurrection of Christ. I mean, I was thinking about this week. You realize we only believe there are two ordinances, right? There are only two, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Both of those picture the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I think God is fairly screaming at us, don't forget. Don't forget what my son has done. Don't forget. Remember the Lord's death till he come. Remember the price that was paid for you until he comes. Why do we immerse? Why do we immerse? You know, the word baptize. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The word baptize means to immerse. It means to dip. The good part is we bring the person back up out of the water. We can't forget that part. But the word means to dip. That's what the early church did. Look back at Acts chapter 8 again. Acts chapter 8. Notice what it says about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch here. This is instructive to me. Acts chapter 8. You know the story in verse 26. Philip goes to the south. He goes down. He meets the Ethiopian eunuch, and the eunuch is reading the Isaiah 53. And a question and answer session ensues, and Philip says in verse 36, the eunuch says, as they were on their way, they came unto certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? By the way, had Philip said anything at all about baptism in the text? I mean, I think this is interesting. No. But there was a connection there. There was a knowledge and understanding that this eunuch had. He wanted to identify with Jesus Christ, the one that Philip had just talked to him about. And Philip says in verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And then the eunuch says, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again for my sins. He commanded the chariot to stand still. And they now watch what it says. They went down both into the water. Into the water. And if you go through the book of Acts, you'll find that this was the practice that the early church did. And folks, I said, why do we immerse? Because that's what the word means, because that's what the early church did, and because this best illustrates the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When a baptismal candidate goes under the water, they are symbolizing the death that Jesus died for them. When they come up out of the water, it is the resurrection. You ever just stop and think about how simple that is? That is not complicated. I marvel. And we learned about the wisdom of God, or we learned about wisdom in the book of Ecclesiastes this morning. How wise God is to keep it simple for us. It's so simple. It's not complex. It's not complicated. It's not convoluted. God truly is wise, all wise. Who may be baptized? There are four questions. If you haven't gotten this, this is what I'm doing. I'm going through four questions. Why do we baptize? What does baptism mean? Why do we immerse? Who can be baptized? Just anybody? No. Only believers. Only people who have put their complete trust in Christ alone to the saving of their soul. Only people who have truly believed Jesus died in my place. I'm a sinner. I can't pay for my sin. Jesus died in my place. Jesus took my place to pay the penalty that I owe, that I can't pay, that only Jesus can pay. And I believe God accepted that payment. I know God accepted that payment because Jesus was raised from the dead by the Father. You know, the gospel, isn't the gospel of salvation so simple and so clear? It's, you know, the fact that we're sinners. We are. I'm a sinner. Pastor Matt asked a question in Sunday school this morning about, have you ever said anything bad about somebody? And I'm glad before he asked the question, he said, don't anybody raise your hand. My hand was ready to go up. It almost went up. Have you ever heard someone say something bad about you? That's sin. That is sin, folks. We still do it. Even though we're saved, we still do it. We don't condemn the world for it because we do the same thing. We shouldn't condemn the world. See, the Bible says, though, about our sin, we have an advocate with the Father who's pleading our case. And who is that advocate? Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And why is he an advocate? Why can he plead our case? Because he died for us. Because he paid the penalty for our sins. He can show the Father the nail-scarred hands. I paid for those sins that Gary committed today. Put those sins on my account. And you know what? By the way, he paid in full. He paid in full. I have to turn here. Look at Romans chapter 3. This I was reading something this week, and this came to my attention, and I've just been meditating on it, and I'm so excited about it, I have to share it with you. Romans chapter 3. Listen to what Paul says. Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Here's the bad news. For all have sinned. That includes me. And that includes you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But look what he says in verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That is interesting that he makes that statement. Being justified freely. He adds that word, freely. You know what that means? With no cost at all. We are justified at no cost to us. God is not charging us to be justified. Why? Because Jesus paid the price in full. Jesus paid it in full without any cost to us. Salvation is a free gift. And that's what the gospel is, a message of a free gift from God to us. And that's who can be baptized, is someone who has received the free gift from God. It's free. Absolutely free. Bible tells us that we're sinners. We read that, Romans 3:23. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us on our behalf. The Bible tells us that Jesus rose again from the dead. And if we believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead, if we are putting our faith and trust in his person and his finished work on Calvary's cross and the reality of his resurrection, if we've accepted that gift, we're saved. And we're saved forever. How can we not want to express our love and gratitude for him by obedience. Simple. I mean, it's a simple act. It's not complicated. It's not confusing. What a privilege it is to simply obey. We sing this song, we sing this hymn all the time. We probably haven't sung it for a while, but it's the song Trust and Obey. I love the part where it says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I've told some of you this before. When I got saved and it was several months, I got baptized. And I remember talking to the pastor after the baptismal service, and I said, you know, I feel really good. I feel really, really good about it. He said, you know why? I said, well, not really. He said, because you obeyed. How good is it when we obey? Isn't there a sense of joy and satisfaction and contentment? Yeah. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. It's very simple. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to commemorate what Christ has done for us on the cross and the death and resurrection. Thank you for Leah and April desiring to do this. We just pray that you would help us as we go through this. Help us to realize the significance of this and the importance of this. And thank you for the witnesses that you've brought out to see what these believers are doing today. We commit to you this time. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.